And Jimmy was been a good friend for a long time. I followed him. I served at Pine Forest, that's where I'm serving now, at St. Luke for 13 years. But interestingly, I followed Jimmy. That's where Jimmy had served before he came and planted the Ridge. And it took me a good 7 years to clean up the mess he left there. So, anyway, I've never been accused of being a bodybuilder at all. Although
I get it all the time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, all that. Let me just tell you, if I don't even know if I could have bent down to try to pick up that car. Like, I don't even know if I could have done that. And I would certainly blown an O-ring or something. I don't know what would have gone on there. But anyway, it is good to be with you all. Bring greetings from Pine Forest Church in Dublin, Georgia. And been there for a couple years now, and which is crazy to think about. You can always tell a church by the type of greetings they do. You know, your more high steeple churches, they do types of greetings like the Lord be with you. Yeah, you know, that kind of liturgicalness. More charismatic churches, they'll do the God is good and all the time, right? Where I come from, though, we've got that kind of southern flair where it's just like, how y'all doing, right? And the response to that is a good old Ric Flair, woo! So how y'all doing?
Woo!
That's my people. I love it. I love it. Anyway, it's good to be with y'all. A couple years ago, I got a phone call from my district superintendent. This is back when I was in the United Methodist Church, and I was at St. Luke. And he was telling me that I was moving. After serving 13 years at St. Luke, I knew that it was time for me to move, but I didn't know where I was going. So I got a call from my DS, and he said, hey, the bishop wants to appoint you to Pine Forest Church in Dublin. And Pine Forest has a storied history in the South Georgia Conference. Lots of great pastors had come out of that church. And so he said at that moment, I was actually getting on a bus taking 60 confirmands to the East Coast. Sitting on the bus, talking to the DS, calling my wife, saying, hey, we're moving. It was a kind of a crazy turn of events. And I said, so when do I need to meet with them? And there was a time period where it was like a couple of months before you could meet with them. But the DS said, no, you need to meet with them next Tuesday. So this would have been like in 5 days. So I was going to be gone for the weekend, come back, and then head to Dublin, to Pine Forest, and to start meeting with them, getting ready for the move. And I remember we came back from confirmation retreat. It's a Tuesday. I get in the car. I'm heading to Dublin. And it's a 2.5-hour drive. And I was driving by Lane's Package. Y'all know the Lane's Peach people, right? So I'm driving by there, and I'm getting really anxious. Because I know, in my mind, I know what, you know, if it's not the first question they're going to ask, it's going to be the second question. And that's the question, all right, Pastor, what's your vision for us? And I remember thinking, really just being honest with the Lord, saying, I just found out I was going to this church 5 days ago. I had a confirmation. I haven't really even been able to think about this. I don't know a lot about this church except for the stories I've heard. I don't know a lot about the history, any of that kind of stuff. I don't have a vision for this church. And so that anxiety starts setting in, because the last thing I want to do is to sit in a meeting of some of the leaders of that church and them ask, hey, preacher, where are you taking us? And I go, I don't know. And the Lord clearly, in that car ride, gave me just this word. He said, lift high my name, and I'll do the rest. Lift high my name, and I'll do the rest. So I get to the meeting. And we're sitting in there, and we had some dinner, and sure enough, second question, right out of the gate. All right, preacher, what's your vision for us? Where do you want to take us? And so I just decided to be very transparent, and I just told them that story. I said, I'm on my way here. I knew y'all were going to ask that question. I had no idea what I was going to say. I had nothing for you guys, but the Lord gave me a word that was, we're going to lift high the name of Jesus, and we're going to let him do what only he can do. Now, they seem to be okay with that, by the way. All right, preacher, that sounds good. Now, that word to me was nothing new. It really was a word that came from just being connected to him and listening and crying out, Lord, I need something. I need direction. I don't just need a catchy phrase. I need direction, because I don't know where to take this church. I don't know what to do with this church. I think this is a word for all of us, honestly, no matter what church we're in, no matter where you are in your Christian faith, whether you just became a believer last week or you've been a believer for decades. I think it's a word for us to understand that our central mission, our central call in life as a church, as a believer, is to lift high the name of Jesus. In fact, the bottom line for today is this right here. It is that our purpose in life is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. The reason we were created is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. Our call, though, as a believer and as a church, is to lift high the name of Jesus and keep our focus on Him alone. And this is a word that I believe we as the church and we as Christians need to hear now more than ever, because there are so many things in our lives vying for our attention, pulling at us, distracting us. And when we're distracted and turning our attention to other things, that's what we put glory into. And so we're being called back to the very basic thing of glorifying God, of lifting His name high, of lifting His and His alone name on high. And so what I want to do, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to John chapter 12. And we're going to just look at it. Go ahead and go to that verse for me, please. Thank you. That's awesome. There's a magic man somewhere around here who just does the work. I just can call it out, right? Anyway, so so we're going to look at this. This is John chapter 12. And we're going to look at a few verses here, several verses here. And this is a portion of the Gospel of John where Jesus is, he's entering into what's called the farewell discourse. He's getting ready to, he's basically saying bye to the disciples. He knows he's about to go to the cross. He knows he's about to leave the disciples. And he knows he's about to leave them, like he's going to die. Of course, he'll rise from the dead. But 40 days later, he's going to ascend into heaven, right? And so he knows he's about to really leave them. So he's trying to bring comfort to them and to calm their anxiety, because he knows they don't understand what in the world is going on. He knows they don't understand what he's saying, so he's bringing some comfort and peace to them. Even if they don't understand what he's saying, this comfort and peace is going to hit them later on when it all clicks, when they finally see what it is he's talking about. So Jesus starts off with this. He says, "Now my soul is troubled," which is always an interesting phrase to me when Jesus admits that he is troubled. When he's got, I guess we could say, maybe a little anxiety. What is he troubled about? What is eating at his soul? What is eating at the Messiah's soul? Well, the thing is, he knows where he's going. He knows he's going to the cross. He knows he's about to bear upon his shoulders the sins of the world. And this is not something that he's just hopping and skipping to, whistling. He's not singing a song, "I'm going to the cross, I'm going to the cross." Like, he's not doing that. This is not a happy thing for him. It truly is troubling. Bearing the sins of the world upon his shoulders is a heavy weight for him to take upon himself. And we know this to be true because before he's arrested, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying, "Lord, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way to do this, let it pass from me." So we know this troubles him, and we see that. "Now my soul is troubled." There's a lot of it's just his soul is, he is not at ease at this time. "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come." He understood his mission on earth. "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was standing there, they heard this. They thought it had thundered. And some even said that an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine." So there's all this kind of weird stuff taking place, and people don't know exactly what is going on. That's really kind of how the Gospels go, by the way. It's a lot of weird things happening. The disciples sometimes get it, most of the time don't get it. The people around them don't usually get it. Actually, the ones who really truly get it are the demons who are witnessing these things. But it's not until Pentecost that the disciples kind of step back and go, "Oh, that's what it meant. That's what was happening." And then, man, they go right for it. Jesus continues, now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. He's talking about Satan there. He's talking about evil there. And he says, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." Man, that whole idea, lift high the name of Jesus, just lift my name on high, and I'll do the rest. That's where that comes from. I don't know if I was reading this passage and prepping for another sermon. I don't know. This is just one of those places where it's good to just read the Bible. If you've never read the Bible all the way through, there are some great aids out there. I mean, Christians, you know, read the Bible. Just read the Bible. Read it in groups. Read it alone. There's great stuff. The Bible Recap is a wonderful thing. It's got a podcast attached to it. Read the Bible all the way through, because what's going to end up happening is in the midst of your life, these scriptures are going to come to life to you, and God will speak to you. And this is exactly what happened to me on those roads going to Dublin 2 years ago. That really was kind of life-changing and set the direction for me and for that church and my new pastorate there. He says, when I am lifted up on high. Notice here, he says, when I'm lifted high. Of course, he's talking about the cross. In fact, it'll say he's talking about the kind of death he's going to die. Well, he's going to be lifted up. He literally will be lifted up on the cross. He will bear the sins of the world upon his shoulders when he's lifted up on the cross. And in doing so, he will draw people. That one act of being lifted up and bearing the sins of the world upon his shoulders will draw people to him. It is the very act of Jesus that does the drawing. We don't do the drawing. See, that's sometimes kind of the misnomer there. We think we in the church are the ones who are to introduce people to Jesus. And to an extent, I guess that is true. But really, what we are called to do in the church is simple. It's to lift high the name of Jesus and let Jesus do what only Jesus can do. That's it. Unfortunately, we tend to lift high the name of everything else in the world and not Jesus. And so it becomes very difficult. We're like, why is this so hard? Well, it's because we're distracted. It's because we're lifting other names high. We're practicing idolatry. Listen, we're coming, and I'm sorry, I'm just going to leave some trouble to clean up for Jimmy here. But it's nothing I wouldn't say to my own church. We're coming upon this presidential election, and I really don't care what side you land on this presidential election. But when you lift high the name of a politician, no matter what side they're on, higher than that of Jesus, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You know what the Bible calls that? Idolatry. Idolatry. And it ain't good. It's never a good thing. Jesus calls us to lift high the name of King Jesus. Just lift his name on high and let him do what only he can do. And that's what we're called to do as a church. And I know there's all kinds of things going on in the life of this church, right? There's transitions happening. I've heard the news about a big transition that will be taking place. And it can cause people nervousness. Look, any transition can cause people nervousness and anxiety. Even the best of things, like you get a good job and you move to a different town, and you're like, I'm going to be making more money. We're going to be living in a greater, you know, bigger house. I have a nicer car, all this kind of stuff. But you don't know anybody there. You don't know the situation. You don't know the town. It just causes anxiety and nervousness, right? Any of these things, good or bad, any of these things, we are called to lift high the name of Jesus. Let him do what only he can do. So I'm just going to move forward here. So the crowd answers him. We've heard the law. And how can you say that the Son of Man needs to be lifted up? We thought he lived forever. And so Jesus says, the light's going to be with you. I'm going to be with you for just a little bit longer. But walk in the light, lest the darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. But while you have the light, believe in the light. And it is this light that empowered the disciples even after Jesus ascended into heaven, when the Holy Spirit came like tongues of fire, light coming upon them, empowering them to go out and proclaim the good news. In the, we call it the letter of Hebrews, but it's really a sermon. We don't know who preached it, but it's really a sermon. The preacher of this sermon, he concludes the letter with these great words for us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that the people who have gone before us in the faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to who? To who? Jesus. Wake up. To who? Jesus. The founder and perfecter of our faith. For who? For the joy that was set before him, he did what? He endured the cross. He lifted up. And you know what? When he was lifted up, despising its shame, he, you know, goes and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and draws people into himself. And we glorify him. And we glorify him. And just let him do what he does. And you're like, that's just so simple. Is it really that simple? Church, yes, it is. It's when we complicate the matter that things get complicated. Lifting high the name of Jesus. That's what we're called to do. No matter what is going on in the world around us, lift high the name of Jesus here in Columbus, in Muskogee County, and around the world. I want to invite you to follow Jesus this morning. Just simple, just invite you to follow him, to lift his name high in all that you do. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this day and the blessings you've given. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, we saw this baptism today. We've seen your acts of grace and mercy around us. Lord, your word is just always true and a reminder to us that it's so easy for us just to really overcomplicate things. Forgive us when we lifted any name higher than yours. Forgive us when, Lord, we haven't believed that you can do what you say you can do. Help us to trust. Teach us to trust so that we may be the people you called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.